Ajahn, I want to ask something about karma. In some of your talks, I've heard to the effect you saying that, for example, something happens because it must happen. Sometimes it sounds as if it means predetermined in some way. No one pre. So that's why I'm wondering, because sometimes it's when you say, for example, why it happened to this person and not that person, it's because it had to happen to that person. I want to understand what it means.
Actually, no person, when conditions ready for karma to produce result, has to arise.
So we know it only after it has happened.
Like now,
right,
seeing.
Right, only after it has happened, we can understand that it happened by conditions.
Yes, vipaka or vipaka.
And I appreciate Ajahn's comment, there is no people. Just when there are the conditions, and I believe it's only Buddha who could say that, you know, when he would know to the moment, to the exact moment, when that person, inverted commas person, would die or whatever. Ajahn, Nina sent me, I have a post of Nina's here, and Nina says that after death there is no more this personality or identity. There is no more this person or this identity.
Completely.
No, gone.
Absolutely.
Gone completely. But Nina continues, but how I cling. How I cling.
Clinging is not you.
No. Okay. True. But how I cling. So clinging.
Clinging arises by conditions.
Even though I understand that intellectually, that also now there is no personality that stays. She understands that intellectually very clearly, that there is no personality that stays. And she would say that, yes, I know Ajahn would say, not enough panya. But can you speak more to this issue, Ajahn? Could you speak more to this?
So should we begin with the understanding that there is no self at all? There are only different dhammas, realities. So when we hear anything on dhammas, we understand that no self there, only dhamma, different dhammas. To have more confidence in what we say, no one, no self, until it's direct understanding of whatever appears now. No doubt about the characteristic of nama, that which experiences and that which is experienced.
So you're saying, Ajahn, then really that clinging will continue for a long time?
Ever.
Forever, for a long time, forever,
until panya can eradicate it.
It's as good as ever, forever, because there's no glimpse of when it's going to happen. There's no, it's nowhere near. We're nowhere near that. So it might as well just be forever.
So you're saying also to that, Ajahn, that there needs to be the continual understanding and application of that understanding.
So by conditions.
By conditions.
Yes.
Yes.
Understanding, not doing anything, because otherwise it would be I who will do. That should be understood as actually there's no I, it's a Dhamma, a reality.
Yes. The Dhamma is very subtle and we can be very forgetful.
And more subtle when there is more and more understanding.
And more understanding means less the idea of self and less doubt. So if one is still thinking in terms of self, it shows less understanding.
There's a term in your book, Ajahn, that I'm not so sure. I've got some idea. But you call it Ajayasaya Visuddhi. which is, I start off, I'll read back a little bit. It says, "Now comes the method of practicing the perfection of virtue, sila. Since the great man desires to adorn beings with the adornment of the virtue of the omniscient, at the beginning he must first purify his own virtue. Herein, virtue is purified in four modes: by the purification of one's inclinations, ajha, saya, visuddhi; by the undertaking of precepts, samadhana; by non-transgressions, avitika kammana; and by making amends for transgressions, patipatikarana." So the first one there, ajhasaya visuddhi, by the purification of one's inclinations. What do you understand by that, Ajahn?
Without understanding, our understanding begins gradually.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And here, Ajahn, inclinations means inclinations to akusala.
When we use the term asaya, includes kusala and akusala. But when we use the term anusaya, it means only akusala.
Say, please, again.
When we use the word asaya, it includes kusala. Both kusala and akusala. But when it is only anusaya, it is only akusala. So there is the word asaya, anusaya, both. Asya and Anusya.
Mm-hmm.
Akusala and Kusala.
So Asya, we refer to both.
Yes.
Is this the perfections?
Yes.
Okay, you tell.
Yes.
Chapter on wisdom.
Which number is
that's
it?
That's number 4, and it's page 51.
Okay, perfection of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I have something to ask. Can I ask questions?
Sure.
I turned again about karma. When we know that there are many kinds of kusala and levels of kusala, so the result can't all be the same. And dana is not the same as sila. The result of dana will not be the same as sila. Although when it comes down to determining different moments in terms of talking in terms of different moments, it still is all about seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, or rebirth. But then again, like I said, sila is not same as dana, so the results cannot be exactly the same as, suppose, when it is said that when one refrains from killing, the result is long life, and when one gives, then the result is getting, being a lot of having wealth and etc. Is this, because if we try to think too much about it, is it one of the then we had, when the Buddha said the karma and the result of karma is one of the achintai, when we try to work out, try to see the difference between this and other, then it's not useful. It's enough for us to know that result of one is different from the other. Like when it is said long life, just conventionally. But if we start wondering, and so what long life? Because long life, you can have long life with a lot of akusala and all that. And also vipaka, and more kusla vipaka also. So when we think too much like this, it's not the right way.
So what's the right way of studying or just listening to the teachings?
One at a time.
What's the right way?
Just to study one Dhamma at a time. One word, the meaning of one word. If we're talking about vipaka, it's what is vipaka now? Seeing is vipaka. What is kusla, akusla? It is...
To me, I think that if we have determination of in one's mind, confidence that actually there's no self at all, so what one is reading or thinking about, it will lead to understand. Not just to follow the words, try to follow them, but to understand the moment, what appears now, is according to just what we learned. Like citta, see, it's now and here. And if we think about how many kinds of citta, it means that gradually it will bring to no one to understand that seeing is different from thinking. Otherwise, we keep on thinking, not understanding the nature of seeing and thinking as no self.
So in a way we can say that since we have not eradicated the idea of self, the first step is to understand that there is no self. And otherwise, there's no way.
Right. Otherwise, it's I who study, I who know, I who think. Even Parami is not I. And we learn to know that without Parami, it's impossible to have less attachment to realities which appears. So the more there is the understanding of the truth of reality right now, it will bring to understanding no self.
So rather than trying to have more Parami is to understand what is Parami.
Mm-hmm. And know that without Parami it's impossible because there are more conditions for akusala from moment to moment, more and more. Just to understand that no self.
Just now I said better than thinking about having more Parami, it is better to understand what is Parami.
Mm-hmm.
But even before understanding what is Parami, what is Dhamma?
Just now, is there any moment of understanding that actually there's no one and nothing at all? Just one reality appear at a time, arising and falling away. Without the intellectual understanding, there's no conditions for that moment to appear well to Panya. So we know that now it does not appear well, not as it is. Because when it appears well, it is to Panya with Sati, Patthana or Sati Sampajanya only.
Okay, this is from The Perfections, Chapter 4, The Perfection of Wisdom. The commentary to the Basket of Conduct defines the perfection of wisdom as follows. Wisdom, Panya, has the characteristic of penetrating the real specific nature of dhammas, or the characteristic of sure penetration, like the penetration.
Just to give an idea, Achan, you can see here that even as Betty started the chapter, automatically it comes to me, wisdom, not just understanding and listening to what wisdom is, but always thinking back to do I have wisdom? And that's not understanding.
Yeah, it's wrong because it is with the idea of self who is hearing and thinking. But each word, see, from the very beginning, like wisdom is what? Understanding. So the point is not doing anything in order to have Panya arise, but developing the right understanding only. Because now touching is there, hardness appear, what and where and when is the understanding of that as a self. It has to be like just now. That's why we can't understand what's meant by the past has gone and the future hasn't come yet. So what Panya can know is just that which appears now. And this is like the test with the, are there many people in this room? Or just no one at all?
So in a way, although from one perspective you say it's like now,
yes,
that is true because there is hardness now, and when Panya understands, it's understanding this hardness as a Dhamma, but it's not like now in the sense that because it's now, it's always self.
Yeah, but when it it's heard more and more, little by little, it cannot think about other thing else, just what is said and what is heard, and that is not self.
So in a way it's like now, but in a way it's very different from...
So very different, difficult. The more there is understanding, the more difficult it is. Deeper and deeper. Panya is not easy.
And why we think otherwise? Because of so little understanding and the idea of self, who thinks that already we have some understanding, but no.
And follow the word, not understand it. It means now.
Yes, following the word, yes.
Yeah. So each word brings now.
And not just following the words in the books or what we hear from others, but our own words. We are also just following our own words all the time.
Like hardness now, see? No condition for Panya to understand that yet. But when awareness arises, it is aware. By conditions.
And also, people jump at the idea of awareness. Why?
Because they would like to experience the truth without understanding.
No understanding.
Without understanding. What's the use of experiencing it and there is no understanding? Useless. Like now, useful or useless? But from hearing the right words, it will bring little by little to understand now.
Sometimes it seems like the process of developing understanding is like undoing our old habits, old ways of thinking, but it's actually more than that. Because we are thinking of this life, but the habit as an animal, as hell being, as devas, it's still there. The wrong habits is still there. Thinking differently, but the habit of clinging to self is always there. So that's very hard.
So I'll read that quote again. Wisdom or Panya has the characteristic of penetrating the real specific nature of Dhammas, or the characteristic of sure penetration, like the penetration of an arrow shot by a skillful archer. Its function is to illuminate the objective field like a lamp. Its manifestation is non-confusion, like a guide in a forest. Concentration, or the Four Noble Truths, is its proximate cause. Why do they call the Four Noble Truths concentration?
Because there is concentration.
That's one. But
with Panya of that level.
Sorry?
With Panya of that level.
Ah, okay. Look at it that way. Okay. Through the study of the Dhamma, we gradually come to have more understanding of the vicissitudes of the world, of gain and loss, honor and dishonor, praise and blame, well-being and pain. We shall understand that the pleasant worldly conditions of gain, honor, praise, and well-being only lead to dukkha, suffering. If there is no Panya that knows the causes and their approximate results in life, if someone truly sees the value of Panya and intends to develop gusala, he will not wish for pleasant sense objects as result, but he will aim for the growth of Panya until it has become keen and accomplished to the degree that it can completely eradicate the defilements. Satipatthana, right understanding of the mental phenomena and physical phenomena of our life, cannot be developed without Panya. No matter how many other excellent qualities someone may have, his defilements cannot be eradicated if Panya does not develop and become keener, if Panya does not clearly see the true nature of the realities that are naturally appearing. Thus, we should see the incomparable value of Panya, and we should apply ourselves to its development so that it can become fully accomplished. If we develop Satipatthana time and again, Panya will gradually be accumulated so that it becomes keener and reaches the degree of a perfection which realizes the Four Noble Truths. We read in the Kudaka Nikaya, in the commentary to the Basket of Conduct, the conduct of Yudhanyaya about the beginning of the development of Panya during the life of the Bodhisattva when he was the young Yudhanyaya. In his life, when the Bodhisattva was Yudhanyaya, he was the eldest son of the king and had the rank of viceroy. He fulfilled every day Mahadana, the giving of an abundance of gifts. One day, when he visited the royal park, he saw the dewdrops hanging like a string of pearls on the treetops, the grass tips and at the end of the branches, and on the spider's webs. The prince enjoyed himself in the royal park, and when the sun rose higher, all the dewdrops that were hanging there disintegrated and disappeared. He reflected thus, "These dewdrops come into being and then disappeared. Even so are conditioned realities, the lives of all beings. They are like the dewdrops hanging on the grass tips." He felt a sense of urgency and became disenchanted with worldly life, so that he took leave of his parents and became a recluse. From this story, we can learn that people have different degrees of understanding. We may see dewdrops hanging on grass tips, but who has Panya to the degree of causing a sense of urgency and disenchantment when he compares his own life with the evanescent dew? We read, "The Bodhisattva realized the impermanence of the dewdrops and made this predominant in accumulating a sense of urgency and disenchantment. It arose once and then became a condition leading to its arising very often." When right understanding with a sense of urgency arises, we should not let it pass by without paying attention to it. We should reflect on the conditions for this sense of urgency so that it can arise more often. The thought of death and impermanence can be a condition for further developing the perfections. The commentary to the conduct of Yudhanyaya explains about the beginning of Panya in that life of the Bodhisattva. We read, "By offering Mahadana before he retired from the world, and by his giving up of the kingdom, he fulfilled the perfection of giving. By his restraint in action and speech, he fulfilled the perfection of sila. By his going forth from worldly life, and by his attainment of jhana, he fulfilled the perfection of renunciation. In that life, he began to develop Panya by wise consideration of impermanence, so that eventually the higher powers, abhinyas, could be attained. He developed Panya, which could distinguish the dhammas that were beneficial from those that were not beneficial for the development of generosity, and so on. In that way, he fulfilled the perfection of Panya. By energy for the accomplishment of what was beneficial in all his undertakings, he fulfilled the perfection of energy. By patience associated with Panya, jnana kanti, and by endurance, adivasana kanti, he fulfilled the perfection of patience. By not speaking wrongly, not deviating from what he had promised, he fulfilled the perfection of truthfulness. By his unshakable determination in all that he undertook and observed, he fulfilled the perfection of determination. By the power of the divine abiding of loving kindness, thinking only of the benefit of all beings, he fulfilled the perfection of loving kindness. By his even-mindedness towards beings' contrarious behavior, and by the divine abiding of equanimity, he fulfilled the perfection of equanimity. These are the ways by which he fulfilled the 10 perfections. The perfection of Panya is essential for the development of the other perfections in the right way. We should remember that the goal of the development of the perfections is Panya, which penetrates the Four Noble Truths. Since its development to that degree takes an endlessly long time, Panya, in its turn, is also dependent on the other perfections. We can notice in this life that someone who has developed the perfections will be inclined to listen to the Dhamma, whereas someone who has not developed the perfections does not see the benefit of the development of Panya and does not want to listen to the Dhamma. Even though there is still opportunity to listen to the true Dhamma, he's not interested in listening. A person who has already developed the perfection of Panya to a certain extent wishes to understand and to know the true nature of realities, no matter where he is born, or even if he is born into a family where there is wrong view. We read in the questions of Pingya, Julanadidesa, of the Kudaka Nikaya, that the Brahmin Pingya, who was 120 years old, asked the Buddha, "I am old and weak. I've lost my beauty, and moreover, my eyesight and my hearing is not clear. Meanwhile, Lord Buddha, may I not go astray? May the Lord explain the Dhamma. May the Lord explain the Dhamma that he penetrated, the Dhamma that makes an end to birth and old age."
Acharya, you see, in the case of this, what's his name, the old man?
Pingya.
Even at that age, it's because of accumulations he asked, he was interested. Normally, most people will not think. Mm-hmm. So, it depends a lot. And when there are conditions, if the Panya has been accumulated, it will be interested in finding, hearing the truth.
No, I appreciate you saying that. I was noticing there where it says that we see from this example that although the Pingya had accumulated perfections to listen to Dhamma, he also needed perfection of energy and patience because Panya develops only very gradually. It was actually going back a bit, which I thought was really, really interesting. I'm making that point that I thought was really helpful, that if one has developed other aspects of Kusala, they are valuable supports for Panya. That's what I felt was a really good point that was made.
Yeah, this is what they mentioned, that
I think what you're saying, Sudhara, is that for someone so old, if there was no perfection of energy and chantha, then he wouldn't make that effort, right?
The idea is whether regardless of what age you are, that all of the perfections support each other. The development of Panya will help develop the other perfections as well.
And vice versa.
So they all go together in that sense. Okay, so going on, a person with Panya would not ask for anything else but hearing the true Dhamma, which makes an end to birth and old age. Although Pingya was 120 years old, he wanted to listen to the true Dhamma. He had accumulated Panya to such degree that he saw the benefit of listening to the Dhamma. We read further on. the Buddha said to the Brahmin Pindiya, people are intoxicated. They are oppressed by physical phenomena, rupas. It can be seen that people are disturbed because of rupas. Therefore, Pindiya, you should not be neglectful. You should give up clinging to rupas so that you will not be reborn. People who have developed banya know that dukkha, suffering, arises because of clinging to rupa. In order to abandon dukkha, we should eliminate clinging to rupas. The dukkha in our life is caused by rupas because we cling and take delight in the sense objects of color, sound, odor, flavor, and tangible object. All these objects are the cause of diverse kinds of dukkha. Further on, we read, the term by rupas, rupesu, means by the four great elements and the derived rupas that are dependent on these. Then the footnote below says, the four great elements are earth or solidity, water or cohesion, fire or temperature, and wind or motion and pressure. The derived rupas are 24 rupas. Rupas arise and fall away in groups consisting of at least 8 rupas, the four great elements and 4 derived rupas.
Ajahn, when someone gives with understanding,
what do you mean?
That it's not self, it's just...
How?
That's what I was thinking, because when you give, it's always the idea of someone to give, and we give even when we think that about in terms of lessening defilements, it's still I who's giving.
That's why when we have the very firm confidence in no self, no one at all, we read, we do with understanding of the characteristic which is object of awareness as not self. For example, at moment of giving, there is touching the thing which will be given, and then at that moment there can be understanding of the reality which is not self.
So what you're saying is that when giving is done for the sake of...
Because you see that even from the very beginning, no one can condition or no one can have the awareness arise at will. So it's the moment of understanding no self when there is condition to be aware with understanding. We shouldn't think about awareness, otherwise we try to have it or we are glad to have it. But when it's there, there is the understanding or not. This is the most important.
So what you're saying, Ajahn, is that when giving, usually it's with the idea of self. So instead of that, there can be understanding of Dhamma as Dhamma.
Right. Otherwise, it cannot be a moment of understanding, the moment of giving. Even right now. No one
and
can.
And it has to start with now.
Yes.
It has to start with now. Mm.
But not at will.
I mean, if we're thinking about doing kusla with understanding and now there's no understanding, then we're just more self, more people.
Yes. Is this moment parami?
When there's understanding.
Is there any understanding?
Intellectual understanding?
Of no self.
Of no self.
The most important thing.
I have a concept question. In a survey, in the second chapter on concepts, the arahat does not dream. Does the arahat, thoughts arise and fall away during sleep? But for the arahat, there are no thoughts while sleeping, while asleep, just bhavangas only, or thoughts but no self.
At moment of being asleep, nothing appears as object.
Nothing.
At
yes,
all.
It's just concepts.
No idea about this or that.
Just thinking.
No thinking.
No thinking.
But when it's thinking, it's not dreaming. It's not pawanga.
Ah, yes, yes, yeah. Yes.
So what do you think? Would the arahat be thinking in the middle of sleep?
Just
why
pawangas.
Not? Why not?
Well, Ajahn just said just pawangas.
Yeah, but why not? Why do you think is the reason? Because I don't understand why an arahat wouldn't be thinking.
No clinging.
No clinging. Because dreams come from clinging?
Yes. Think about that. See?
Yes. Yes.
Clinging to that perception. Someone or I doing this or that in dream. At any moment of vitijitta, there is no kilesa at all. So, if you think or if you dream, there is kilesa.
So, it goes back to no self, no concepts, just the bhavangas.
Because thinking is thinking, not a dream. And the process of thinking, there is kriyajitta, no clinging at all.
I mean, it's not like when there's the ending of understanding of no self, no more thinking and no more dreaming. The understanding of no self doesn't mean that one stops thinking.
That's true.
Thinking still, even the Buddha thinks when not asleep, when awake, but not with clinging. That's the point.
Mm-hmm.
And a Sotapanna still dreams because they're still thinking, they're still clinging.
We can only know ourselves whether our gusala is a perfection or not. If someone has no understanding of the way to eradicate defilements, his generosity will not be a perfection. Someone who has listened to the Dhamma and notices his defilements may perform gusala to the degree of a perfection, but it all depends on the strength of his panya. Some people who have just begun to listen to the Dhamma so that they say that they do not need to attain Nibbana, that they do not need to be a stream winner, Sotapanna, who will not be reborn more than 7 times. They want to be reborn more than 7 times. Thus, it is evident that in their case, Banya of the level of listening is still weak. For the development of the perfections, it is necessary that Banya clearly sees the benefit of developing them, be it the perfection of generosity, of sila, of renunciation, or any of the other perfections. Thus, it all depends on the degree of Banya, to what extent the perfections can be developed.
So, Ajahn, if there's enough intellectual understanding, there will not be thinking that this much panya is enough.
Never enough.
Never enough. So there's even intellectual understanding, if it's reached a certain level, it knows that it's never enough.
Because kilesa is there.
I mean, if someone says, don't have to be a sotapanna, it means he doesn't even see the danger of wrong view.
And he does not understand what Sotapanna is.
Okay. We may not have understood that defilements and all dukkha, suffering, arising in this life originates in our personality, which is the nama dhammas and the rupa dhammas we take for me or for self. The true cessation of dukkha is the nama dhamma and rupa dhamma. Is that nama dhamma and rupa dhamma do not have to be reborn. We read in the Mahanidesa, Antandana Sutta, the word man, nara, is used here with regard to someone who is inclined to nibbana. This means that men are people in this world who perform generous deeds, undertake sila, observe the fast day, prepare water for drinking and other uses, sweep the grounds, pay respect to the stupa, Develop kusala of the three dhatus or elements. This refers to, these are kusala, which is of the sense sphere, kusala, which is rupa jhana, and kusala, which is arupa jhana, that should be developed. They do not develop kusala because of rebirth, because of a plane of existence they want to attain, because they want to continue in the cycle of birth and death. They have as their goal to depart from dukkha. They are humble and they are inclined to nibbana. Because of this goal, they will develop all kinds of kusala. They are called men because they are inclined to nibbana. Someone who has not understood the true meaning of dukkha may hope for the end of dukkha in as far as he sees dukkha as merely getting what he does not wish for, or he may just want to have no more suffering. However, when someone has understanding of the meaning of dukkha, his goal is departing from dukkha in the sense of being inclined to nibbana, which is the end of dukkha inherent in all conditioned dhammas.
I don't always hear everything, but do you get the sense of why the word men is used?
I don't know. In that particular quote, it doesn't seem like it really fits.
I think so.
Can you explain?
Please, John, what do you think?
Please read again.
Just before we do, my understanding is that what is a true man? Mm. What does Nara mean? In that sense, it's not just an ordinary person. It's somebody who's developed panya. That's what I think is being referred to there.
I think he's thinking in terms of monks, so of course he's talking about men.
Because it goes back, it starts earlier on when it says, whereabouts were you up to now? Because I thought there was a good distinction being made also between just another point that I thought, and I thought that was a point you were going to make, Sukhin, was also that there is a distinction between just not wanting to have unpleasantness in one's life. That's not really understanding.
Yeah, that's right.
That's just not understanding. There has to be a real appreciation for what development of kusala rule is all about. And also, that's another aspect of what nara means too. They're not just ordinary.
It has to be at a deeper level.
How does that relate to the word nara?
Well, because nara, in this sense, means not just an ordinary person.
What does it mean as your understanding of that word?
Well, somebody who understands what dukkha is really about and the value of development, if that's not understood and appreciated, you may use that term nara, and not in this context, but it's not applicable really because it doesn't refer to truly what nara really means.
Footnote that Nara here translated as man can mean valiant,
yes.
Heroic, strong, and
heroic, strong.
And in the previous,
well,
the true
earlier edition of that book, and the reason I'm using this one is because the Pali is spelled right in that book. The Pali is not spelled right.
The true cessation of dukkha is that Nama Dhamma and Rupa Dhamma do not have to be reborn, so people who wish to be reborn aren't concerned and don't want to be reborn more than 7 times, perhaps a long life use, so there's time to figure it out, but it's not analysis. Or while they're taking their time figuring out, indulge a few more sensual pleasures or a more comfortable life or that sort of a thing.
So, Achan, as he just read in the footnote, the nara here must be like when they want to emphasize a real man.
It depends on the context, because you see that it also includes women.
Mm. Yes, I mean that.
And
a valiant person.
A real person. When in English you talk about real man means a brave person. So it can be male or female. Mm. Yeah.
A winner.
Yes. I'm ashamed to say that, yes.
Yes.
Yes,
just
I'm
person.
Inclined,
yeah.
I'm inclined, I'll go with that. Yes.
Understanding has the penetration of intrinsic nature, unfaltering penetration as its characteristics. So does not this mean, since it talks about intrinsic nature, that it means that Pandya cannot have concept as object? Because concept don't have intrinsic nature.
It depends on what degree of Pandya. As now, see, we have concept, and there can be understanding. Intellectual understanding is Pandya.
But even intellectual understanding, it's about characteristic. It's about nature of reality.
And the word like Dhamma.
So, even that is, although it's still thinking, what I'm saying is that, for example, if we think that the glass is impermanent, that's not Pandya.
Sutamaya Pandya.
But even Sutamaya Pandya is Pariyati, no?
Yes, it's Pandya.
But is it to Sutamaya Pandya if we say...
But it needs the word.
It's going to depend, I think, too, on who says it. You know, like anybody can say, "Oh, everything's impermanent."
Yeah, even if anybody says it, but it's not. If it's not true, if it's not true that the glass is impermanent,
but the,
can we say it?
But the understanding that it's different from the higher Panya, that is Panya.
But then again, the glass is just a concept, and it's not impermanent.
And it is different from the moment of being aware.
It is different.
But it's Panya which knows
but
the difference.
But Sutamaya Panya would know this, that visible object is impermanent.
Different degree, different degree. That's why the Pariyati conditions the Patipati and Patipati conditions the Pavidiveda. Because some cannot understand what is meant by Dhamma.
I mean, for example, if I say that life is... as a human being is impermanent, I can understand in terms of moments of dhammas rising and falling away, and that there is
that is better than not understanding. See,
that I understand, that is okay, because it's based on the understanding of realities. But if I say glass, I can't think of anything that would say, because I can only think about glass one day breaking or and all that. I'm not thinking in terms of
impermanence.
Rupas.
Impermanence.
Just the idea of impermanence.
Because the way I've always understood it is that the Panya that is being understood is deeper and deeper understanding of the characteristics of the reality. So those three Tilakana characteristics are being understood at deeper and deeper levels.
I mean, and if someone who has not heard the Dhamma, even he can agree that the glass is impermanent at that level, but that's not understanding.
Yeah. Before hearing the teachings, one can have such understanding at that level.
But would that be understanding?
Yes, as the result of having known before. When there's condition and when there's no condition, it's different. But it can arise, such idea. That life is not permanent.
No, I'm not saying the same as the Bodhisattva when he noticed the dewdrops. That is his Panya for sure, 100%. But I'm talking about someone who is not a Bodhisattva.
But it's not like moment of becoming enlightened. But it will bring about that later.
But for sure, if someone teaches impermanence as a teaching of the Buddha, without any understanding of Paramattha Dhammas, then it's not wisdom.
Because you see that with accumulation, they can condition the moment of thinking about life as not permanent. And after hearing the teachings, it can condition the moment of understanding the truth of a reality.
It has to be. But still, but even before hearing about life, we still think about this person, this life.
It can condition the moment of thinking rightly.
Only after hearing the teachings?
No, sometimes it's just there, by conditions. People think differently.
Chintamaya Pandya, you mean? Okay, that is similar to the Bodhisattva, when he saw the dewdrops. But
even Savaka Bodhisattva can have that.
Yes, even that can have, I can understand that. But not if you think that's what the Buddha taught. The Buddha, because the Buddha didn't teach that impermanence means the glass is not going to...
The understanding of truth is there by accumulation. The inclination to think about that.
If it arises on its own by conditions, that is must be because of Panya, because normal people won't think about it like that.
It is not sufficient only to develop the perfection of Panya. If we do not understand what the perfections are and in what way we should develop them in our daily life, we cannot realize the Four Noble Truths. But we have merely vain expectations of achieving their realization. We do not know ourselves, and we do not understand that we need the perfections, which are a supporting condition for the development of Gusala and for the elimination of Agusala Dhammas.
So, Acharya, apart from the perfections being perfections because of Panya, without Panya it's not a perfection, it seems to say that when it is said that we have to develop perfection, we have a lot of akusala, means of all kinds. Does the perfection, each one, also work to eradicate, to help being the opposite of particular akusala? Like metta works against aversion, anger. Is that also the purpose of perfections?
With understanding or without understanding?
With understanding, it works also with understanding, but at the same time it's also working against aversion?
Little by little.
Little by little.